Welcome to the Excel podcast. With its origins in Southwest England, you are invited to join your host, Kevin Sulwood, as he speaks with a variety of personalities, both local and national, and mostly from within the driver training industry. In the various episodes, you will hear about issues of national interest concerned with driver training, along with ideas and advice to help you, whether you are an independent instructor, a member of a franchise, or the owner of a larger driving school.
Hello, everyone. Another episode today, and a rather special one this time because I've managed to get hold of somebody just over 2 days after she's passed her part three test. So it's a really happy time, I think, to welcome to the podcast today, Carrie Barker, ADI.
Yes.
How does that?
How exciting.
Yeah. Have you come down off of cloud nine yet?
I think I have floated down a little bit. Yeah. I have finally stopped smiling and stopped crying at the same time. So, yeah, definitely you've come down a little bit, but I can't wait to tell anyone else who asked me what's my week been like. Well, let me start with Monday.
Which is normally not a great day.
Exactly, which is what I recently posted on social media. Monday's never a great day, but actually it was a great way to start the week. So this week will be remembered.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what I don't want to do is to turn this into too much of a plug for whatever training company you used. We'll come to that later. but hey, why not?
Yeah.
So first of all, just give us a bit of a background of what you've been doing up to now and why you decided that this might be a path that you wanted to go down.
Sure. So my background has always been very people focused because I love working with people. So my current role that I've been working in over the last 13 years is in learning development and part of a human resources team, so very people focused. And I've been supporting apprentices for the last 3 and a bit years. Yeah. And I really love helping the young people to develop in their careers, but there's only so much I can help them with in terms of accountancy, which is the firm that I work for, because yeah. I'm not an accountant, so I haven't got the technical skills. And then a couple of years ago, we were out camping and I got my daughter in the car in a field. And I thought, let's have a go then, Amelie. Let's get this car moving. So I started to drive across the field and then thought, oh, actually, I haven't told her how to stop the car. And I thought, I'm really enjoying this, but I need to learn a little bit more about it. And that kind of like struck a light bulb, yeah. I suppose, in terms of I really love learning development and I really do enjoy driving, and I've got a skill there that I could potentially help and support not just young people but anybody who's looking to drive. So I thought, why not combine the two together and look into it a little bit more? And that's how I kind of started to think about looking into being a driving instructor. And also, I've worked in a corporate environment and an office job for so long. I wanted to do something a little bit outside of, doing something a bit different than sitting behind a desk. But also thinking about doing something for myself, working for a company for so long. How can I make a job work for me and be a little bit more flexible around my life, my busy life that I have with a family, a dog, as well as, you know, trying to do the social side of things of my life. So how can I get that good work-life balance? And this seemed to fit really well for me.
Right. Excellent.
Yes. I've just really enjoyed the journey that I've taken so far. Does that help?
You enjoyed all of it?
No.
we'll come to some of that a bit later on.
Yeah.
So now, whenever I watch Homes Under the Hammer, they always go on about people and have a go at them when they haven't read the legal pack. So tell me, how much research did you do into becoming a driving instructor?
So I think I did quite a bit of research.
Good.
I did a lot of Googling, watched a lot of YouTube videos. I looked into various different trainers that would help me. So I looked at all the big names that you can imagine that are out there because you think, well, that's the first port of call you go for. But after doing a little bit of homework, even though they were selling it with really great offers, you know, you can train and qualify, cost you £2,000, but actually there's a lot of hidden stuff underneath. And I didn't like some of the things that it offered in terms of the training, which were things like when you're going out with a trainer, there's two of you in the car, so it's two to a trainer rather than one to a trainer. And I really wanted that one-to-one training. And also, I decided to go with somebody who was more local so that I could, and somebody who was there to help me all the time. So they wouldn't, you know, wouldn't mind me texting them at 7 o'clock at night because I know you don't, Kevin, or later. And you do respond. So you get a response. But somebody who was there to sort of help and support when I needed it rather than it being on a scheduled basis. And also, from a cost point of view, I couldn't afford to fork out a massive cost all in one go, so the going local meant I can pay as I could get as I go. So when I needed the help and the training, I was able to pay for it, pay as I go, I suppose, is a way to sort of explain that. So that really helped me with my budget in terms of, you know, I can put a pot aside and then I'm ready and then I can get some more training. So that was really helpful. But just having someone local was important to me. I didn't want somebody who was down 100 miles away, or you know, up in Bristol or down in Plymouth, or I wanted somebody that was close by so that I can say, can we jump in the car next Monday, so that we can talk about what I've just been doing. So that's kind of when I did my research, some of the bigger schools didn't offer the service that I wanted out of my training, I suppose.
Because we've got at least one other person with us who did go down a national company route. Not one of the more obvious ones, and was lured by one of the carrots that they dangled in front of her, and then realised, like you said, that this two in the one, two to one thing wasn't really working, and various other things as well. So,
I think
sorry, go on.
the franchise fee was also something that put me off because the franchise fees were quite expensive, and I still needed to work in my job whilst training, so I still need to work 4 days a week, and I was training for my driving one day a week. So it didn't justify me spending £150 a week franchise fees covering costs of marketing, car materials, whatever else it included, for me to be driving, teaching one day a week. So it just didn't make sense.
Because you've used your own car, haven't you?
I've used my own.
Because some of the companies, the franchise fee will include a car as well, but that makes it even more
But I didn't
expensive.
need. I just adapted my own car, with your advice, and just thought, well, yeah, actually, why do I need to spend a fortune? I'm training and I'm beginning, and if they catch my mirror or they catch my bumper or they scrape my wheel, I'm not going to be precious about it because it's, you know, it's my car that I've had for a while, and I've done it myself. I've caught my wheels myself. You know, we do, don't we? Even though we're experienced
Speak for
drivers, so
yourself.
not so much anymore now.
So, how many trainers did you actually meet, or did the first one that you came across sweep you off your feet and convince you that yes, that was right for you?
Well, I would say I probably spoke to a couple that were the bigger firms, should I say, the bigger organizations on the telephone. So I didn't see them in person, but the person that I, you know, met with and had a cup of coffee with was the person that I went for because, well, Kevin, obviously you gave me all the information I need and was helpful in terms of what was the best plan for me going forward, which helped me make my decision. So being able to meet you in person, and I didn't approach any other local schools because that none really helped came up in my Google search. So,
okay. So the salubrious surroundings of the Costa at Columpton Services.
Yes.
Was what sealed it for you?
What sealed it? Yeah. You seem to know what you were talking about, Kevin. So I was sold.
You can fool some of the people some of the time. And I'm just looking at your forehead. Oh, yeah, it's got gullible written across it. Right. So, and you signed up with the Go Green package as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that has been, the materials and resources available. I don't think I've missed. So that every other Sunday they do a Zoom, yeah. 7 till 9. I probably have missed a handful in the time that I've been training, because I've just found them so helpful, so engaging. And Lou Walsh, her information was impeccable. It's just, yep. It just helped me so much. And I've carried on right up to the bitter end with the Zooms. So my last one I went on was on Sunday, which was about questions. So that really was like thought-provoking for me, yeah. Ready for my part three. Yeah. So I've really found the resources. You've got the loads of videos to watch, the books that they send through. And it's, you know, it's hard work dedicating the time around work and life, yeah. And making yourself committed to study. So I underestimated how much time I needed for this. Right. But actually,
that's interesting.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I think so.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, the Go Green has been brilliant. Yeah. It's been so helpful, because it's not just about what goes on in the car. It's what you have to, the thought process and the theory behind,
yeah.
It all.
Yeah, excellent. Right, so let's move on. Part one. And we sailed through that.
I did. That seems so long ago. that was a bit of a scare.
It was a long time ago, because your 2 years are close to being up, aren't they?
January, January. Yeah. So, yeah, that was all very new to me too, because when I learned to drive, I didn't do a theory. Yeah. I studied and studied for that and walked out of that with a smile. So I was glad I didn't have to go and do that again. I was sat in a room with all these youngsters doing their theory and thinking, they're probably looking at me thinking, can you not drive yet?
And why are you taking so long at doing this? And we finished.
Yeah, they've gone. But yeah, some interesting things. And, you know, never really learned about trams before. Don't see any trams down here, do we?
Yeah, I've just had a girl this afternoon, and she's got her theory test next Tuesday. And she told me she'd done a mock test. And said, I only got 5 less than the pass mark. And so I'm thinking that means you've actually got 12 questions wrong. I didn't say that to her. She's realised that there are, like, you know, where's the nearest tram to us? You know, and how relevant is it immediately? And she was talking about the document stuff, that's where she found it difficult, about the insurance and all the other stuff there, that, you know, where do you find out that information if you don't know? Well, you know, there are books that will help, and they ought to be using, but not everybody does, and most of them do just hope that by doing all the using the app or whatever, that it helps them. But she's realised that it's, you know, there's a bit more to it than just rocking up on the day and doing it.
Yeah. I found the Theory Test Pro app really helpful. Yeah. That got me, you know, I just kept repeatedly looking at it every night, and I would have a go at a section every night. There were some random questions in there, which actually the Go Green stuff was quite helpful, because there was things like, I can't remember the question now, but it was around rote learning. What did it mean? And that stuck in my head, because I remember seeing it on Lou's Facebook group, and I was like, I know what that means. Yeah. I was able to answer that. But if I hadn't have done Go Green, there's no resource that I would have found it in Driving Essential Skills or the Highway Code, what that meant.
Yeah. I can remember there used to be one question on there about, you're about to drive into a tunnel, what should you do? Well, I don't exactly know what the exact question was. And apparently the correct answer is tune to your local radio station.
I can't remember that.
No, I don't, that one's gone. I'm sure that's not there anymore. And I think to myself, hey, what's this all about? Apparently, if there's an emergency in the tunnel, local radio stations transmit some message of some sort. Well, who the hell ever knows that? Thankfully, that question no longer appears anywhere, but it's that sort of thing that there are things that do throw people.
I don't know if that would have worked when I drove to Italy.
Just one cornetto.
Driving through the mountains. Yeah. It was like, no, I can't remember what the big tunnel's called, but yeah, that was a big tunnel.
So we move on to part two, which wasn't quite as straightforward as we would have hoped.
No. So my part two, don't go in illusion that you're a brilliant driver, because you need to be a brilliant driver at the standard of the DVSA. And I left the car park, and I think for me, I think the part two was a reminder what a driving test feels like, because I haven't done one since I was 17. That's 30 something years ago. And I thought, yeah, I can drive. I've been doing all the training with Kevin. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing my mirror checks and signaling at the right time. I know where to position the car. And I left my brain in the car park that day. And I focused on what I shouldn't be doing instead of what I shouldn't be doing. And it just was not great. So I failed it the first time, but then I passed it the second time with only one driving.
That's right. It wasn't that long after either, was it?
No. And you know, I had a really nice examiner that's not local, but gave me some really nice compliments about my driving. And the one driving fault I had was at a roundabout with two lanes to go straight ahead. And there was a Royal Mail lorry sat at the traffic lights on the left lane. And he said I should have gone into the second lane to make progress, even though the lights were red. So I did make progress once we got past the roundabout. Then are we going straight ahead? And I went past the lorry, but I sat behind it at the traffic lights.
That's right. It was Steve Lane, wasn't it, the examiner?
I can't remember his name.
Yes, it was.
From Bournemouth or somewhere.
That's right. And then we moved on to part three. And that was exciting, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know if exciting is the word I'd use, Kevin. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride. Yeah. That's how I would like to explain it. So, yeah, kind of went in the first one. Thought I did all right. Actually, I didn't. The learner I took was appropriate. I felt the lesson was appropriate. But I just was so tunnel visioned on the topic that I was doing. Yep. I didn't pick up on all of the faults that he was making, especially around MSPSL. I think that was my downfall on that particular one. My second one, I should never have taken the learner onto the dual carriageways. It felt like it was the right thing to do, but actually on reflection, it wasn't. So it really wasn't the right appropriate lesson for her, which is where it fell down on my second attempt. But my third attempt, it was an appropriate lesson. It was the right thing for him. And I watched that learner like a hawk. I did not miss a trick, and I saw when he wasn't positioning properly. I saw when he was block changing down in his gears, and we pulled over and we talked about it. I didn't miss anything. I picked up everything, and I'm pretty sure the examiner noticed that too. So, it was totally the appropriate lesson for him. It was the right thing for him to do. And that was demonstrated as well.
Yeah, I want to come back to the debrief from Monday, because I've got the notes from it that I took here. Yeah. Well, let's go, because your first one is a bit of a blur to me, but I remember the second one, the examiner was saying that it was Courtney, wasn't it, you took?
Yeah.
Yeah. that you let her stay in first gear to the second roundabout.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so, I just was, it's that blinker thing, isn't it? Again, it's just like, oh, I think it's the nerve things. Yeah. I can now I completely recognize how a learner will feel when they go out on their learning, on their driving test. So, you know, hopefully that's something I can share with them when they have that moment. Yeah. But yeah, I just completely just again, I got blinkered and I just was focusing on what we were doing and not what we were doing on the approach to what we were doing, and picking up that we should have, I didn't adapt the lesson.
Yeah, and it's the classic, probably out of the five things that most people fail their part three on, that's the one I think that more fail on than any other. And so I've seen it too many times before. There's, I know that if Kevin Raven ever listens to this, he will empathise totally with what you've just said, because he was totally focused on that one. I sat in the back of that one, and from the moment we left the test centre, the learner did not use, I don't think he used the mirror at all. And he was so focused on what he was doing. So, one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on and do this is because, you know, you've gone to the Last Chance Saloon. There will be so many people who will be empathising with you because they've, you know, had at least one unsuccessful go, possibly two. And hopefully from what you've just said, that you will encourage them to go for that third one, because Christy and I have picked up these two themes that I talked to all of you about last week, MSPSL. There is no debrief or summary at the end of any test that I have ever seen from John O'Brien or Frank Rossin that does not mention MSM or MSPSL or the system of driving or the hazard routine. It's all the same thing. No, and the day that there is one that doesn't mention it, I'll give somebody £100. And the other part of it is very much getting the learner to drive the way you would. I'm not necessarily doing it straight away, but that's aiming for that and not accepting anything less. And that doesn't mean to say that you tell them you can't drive that. You've got to be driving at 70 miles an hour. I'm not doing it straight away, but you know, encouraging them that this is the way they ought to be driving and targeting it. Another thing that you've just mentioned about watching, it was Dan on Monday, watching him like a hawk. One of the things that was mentioned on the previous one is where you instructed your learner to turn at the right time, not to turn too early. And then you did it, and you let him do
it. And I let him.
And excuse me. Right. So let me give you some of the stuff that was mentioned. The first thing that was said once you possibly came round and were back in the land of the living, after he told you they'd been successful, whether you heard any of this or not, I don't know. You were about to give John O'Brien a hug. I suggested it might be more appropriate if you give me one later on.
I don't think he's offered a hug very often, so you never know.
You don't know, do you? I should have let you do it and just seen his reaction.
Yes. And
the first thing he said was it was a nice, appropriate lesson. And I think the other thing is that you took the ideal pupil. And in some cases, he said he was a bit too helpful. You know, he talked. And, you know, Dan can talk. You know, I've sat in with you for four or five of his sessions, and boy, can he talk, but he talks in the right way. You know?
Yeah, he does.
An interesting thing that John said at the end of it was that he was good for telling you what other learners will be feeling and thinking, but they won't tell you. So the things that he said, it's worth bearing in mind. Now, I don't know what he said because I wasn't in the car. There was no way that I was going to wrestle into the back of your two-seater.
John as well. You and John will be a bit snug.
And the other thing that I've picked up in part three, brief debriefs before, is about getting the learner to do the talk through. because you find out what they know and what they don't know, and whether they're getting the routine correct. So yeah, from all those respects, it was, I'm just trying to decipher some of my writing. Yeah, one thing he mentioned about the eco-driving, wasn't it, about getting the speed down to the relevant gear, first of all, and that a lot of learners will change to down to second gear approaching a junction at far too high a speed.
Yeah.
And then they bring the clutch up and the car's clunking. So all this eco-driving stuff. And you...
Which was interesting, actually, because I couldn't call how the result was going to go because John chatted so long in the back of my car.
Oh, God, yeah,
about
didn't
eco-driving. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I've missed so much. Is this what I should have been talking about? Oh, my gosh. But actually, you know, he was chatting away and he was, you know, joking and saying to Dan about how much money, if you're driving for 15 years and he's eco-driving, can you think of the amount of pounds that he's going to save over those 50 years? Yeah. And I'm thinking, is this all the stuff I should have been saying? Oh, my gosh, I've fucked it up again.
I'm standing at the doorway of the test centre and think, oh, God, Gary, shut up.
Oh dear!
But you also, for those people who know, you were doing joining and leaving dual carriageways and getting Dan used to faster roads because it's something that he's only done once before, and that was the fairly easy 8:30 out to Honiton.
Yeah, and we were focusing on his planning and awareness as well,
yes,
kind of looking, you know, where what he should be looking for and how he's identifying where he should be going and coming on and coming off.
Yeah, so they were the skills and the platform that he used was just happened to be dual carriageways because he needed that challenge of a faster road. You know, you could do those skills anyway. You could have done it in Marsh Barton at a lower speed, in Alphington at in a 20 zone. But he, you know, he specifically needed the challenge of a faster road. And again, if it had gone pear-shaped, you could have taken him back to somewhere quieter and done that stuff. You had an interesting situation at the end of the rather nasty slip road coming from Kenford going up towards Torquay.
We did, yeah. It was interesting because we were just talking through, you know, taking the speed out, and we talked about probably approaching this one in second gear because Dan had suggested that we will use third, and I said, well, can I suggest we try this in second? And as we were sort of partway down the slip road, while it's the two-way part of the road, we spotted that it was a car stopped at a right angle, just stopped at the bottom of the slip road, and I said, just ease off a little bit, I'm not quite sure what that car's doing. So we got him to slow down, and he held the speed, he kept the car moving but just held the speed right off, and then this car all of a sudden shot out, and then as we joined the A380, we spotted that they'd gone over onto the A38, so they were obviously for an opportunity to cross the A380 to go across to Plymouth. So, a bit of an interesting one.
And anybody who knows that road will think, my golly, you know, that is the craziest thing to be doing from there, trying to basically going across three lanes of potentially 70 mile an hour traffic, trying to get to the Plymouth Road rather than the Torquay one.
Just as the road splits off into different directions.
So just as you're thinking, this is going all right, oh my God.
Yeah, well, God, what are you going to throw at me now?
did Kevin...
And we'd already had a
lorry.
Broken down lorry.
That's right.
At the first Kenford junction, so as you've passed Tucker's garage, there was a broken down lorry just on the slip road on the inside and a rescue truck. So I was like, thankfully the learner dealt with it really well. It's like, oh no, this is it, it's all gonna go wrong.
And we had an interesting little discussion at the end about when you can cross a solid white lines, because you had a cyclist to deal with as well, didn't
we? Had a cyclist, So, yeah, and I didn't grab that gift of a learning opportunity. Yeah. We talked about it and then we carried, you know, we talked about how he was going to deal with it, but we could have had a really lovely conversation about that learning opportunity, and I didn't grab the gift that was given to me enough for it to be a conversation. So when things like that happen, Lou Walsh has always said, treat them as gifts they are amazing learning opportunities for you to have a discussion. So I didn't take that gift.
Even if it's nothing relevant to the skills that you're doing. But it's all come good in the end.
It has all come good in the end. I can't believe it. I still can't believe it. I still haven't stopped smiling. And when anyone asks how your week's going, I have to keep telling everyone.
But there's a little bit of a delay of getting applying for the badge, because this whole thing had got on to the end of your second trainee license. You weren't going to get another one. You were putting in an appeal, which was going to be heard today.
The 30th.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So you've had to retract that before you can actually apply for your green badge.
So I've appealed against the appeal, basically. So I've gone to So yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get a third license, but we kind of prolonged the agony, I guess, to take me up to my part three date. And obviously it was declined, so I appealed, and that was declined, so I've appealed against that decision. So now I have to retract my appeal against that decision before I can apply.
I'm sorry for wasting your time, but I don't want to do that anymore.
But at least it meant I could still, you know, kept my license valid, so I was able to still charge for my lessons, which helped me to pay for the training that I taken advantage of over the last few weeks. It was been, you know, those hours with you, Kevin, have been probably the most valuable hours. So yeah, it meant that I was able to cover my costs.
Yeah, good.
Not make any money, because that's not the purpose of it, is it? So
no, it's not. I think that's a problem a lot of people have with the trainee license. It's not there as a job.
Yeah, it's not there to earn a living. It's there to help you learn. And
it's people that do that who can come a cropper. If they get to the point where they're not as lucky as you, and they don't get through, then what do they, you know, they can't carry on.
But, which is why I didn't want to reduce my hours down anymore with my job, because, you know, that's my income. And if I didn't pass on these three attempts, I've lost a good, well-paid job. Yeah. I wasn't taking that risk.
Yes. So, I'm not going to put you on the spot on this now at all, because that's something for the future. But of course, you now have to consider your options and what you do in the future. But, you know, don't commit yourself to anything, because I don't need to hear an answer now. But, you know, it's great to have that option anyway.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Christmas is coming, so I need to keep the the pennies coming in for the time being, and obviously learners are not going to be fulfilling their driving lessons over Christmas period. So it gives me a little breathing time to think about what next and what do I do. I think that's another conversation to have offline, Kevin.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, that's not for public consumption whatsoever.
Yeah, but training will. Yeah, you know, I'm not leaving training wheels anytime soon, so I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh, right. Well, that is committed to record. Well, it's good.
I haven't got time in my life of marketing and stuff like that. Not just yet, no.
Yeah. There's a number of people who've been with us that have gone on. You know, you've got Lisa Gorman near you. She's up in Willand, you know, and you know, she stayed with us for 5 years. I don't know, maybe more. It wasn't more than that, but you know, before she realised that, you know, I'd like to try myself. And we don't expect people to stay forever, but we like people. You know, we've committed ourselves to you. We do like it when people do stay. We've only had one person who went very quickly, and I think that person got more from us than we got from them.
You win some, you lose them, you know.
That's right.
It's about personal choice, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone's got to do what's right for them. So, I appreciate all the help and support that you guys have given me over the last couple of years. 6 months, Carrie said. So I want to qualify in 6 months. Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's only one thing I've got to say to you, apart from really well done, fit a couple more doors to the car. but at least I don't have to sit in the back anywhere near as much again.
No. Yeah, I'll see what I can do with an angle grinder and whatever else. I don't know what tools I need, but yeah. Maybe I'll invest in a new car once I'm not gonna get complacent now. Yeah. I'm just gonna continue this learning and make sure that I still carry on, because you know there will be a standards check looming, and I don't want
to. At some point, yeah,
and I don't want to think, well, this is it now. Just drop the ball and not be doing it properly. I'm just gonna continue to make sure I use my Go Green resources and the Facebook groups that we have, and you know all the people that we've got around us to just help continue. Get embed, you know, because nowhere near perfect, but I've done enough to get me through my part three. But I just want to continue to make that better and become an excellent driving instructor.
All the people that I, you know, the sort of the national figures, Diane Hall, Bob Morton, Chris Benstead, Mick Knowles, Lee Jowett, the people that I have discussed, talked to, and been to meetings with and courses with, I know how much work they've put in after qualifying to get where they are. You know, they haven't stood still, and they're only as good as they are now because of the time and money they've invested to find out more to get where they are.
Yeah.
And the people that do that are the ones who get on and the ones who become, I think, more respected than some who don't. But again, it's what works for you. You know, some people are quite happy just jogging along what they're doing. I think what Christy and I have found is it's the people who suddenly come to you at the last minute, having failed a couple of one or two standards checks, and expect you to work miracles. No, well, Christy's done that with a guy in Taunton recently. He's managed to change his whole outlook to how he does things, and he got through. So it can be done. But the more time people invest in themselves early, the more likely it is they're going to be successful. Yeah.
Well, being in the profession I am now, accountancy, DPD is essential. Yeah. You have to.
Yes.
Have to have CPD. Yes. So. Yeah. You know, rules change, ways we do things, learners change. So you just, CPD is really important.
I know Karen, our bookkeeper, you know, she has to keep up to date with things. She has to have certain licenses and go on training courses. It's a shame, really, that we have this rather lax system where you don't have to do anything. My next door neighbour, or your next door neighbour, could have trained you to become an instructor. How confident you would have been at passing any attempts with them, it's another matter. But that's the ludicrous part about all of this.
And I guess as well, if you know the DVSA are going to drop a standards check on you, at least offer some CPD in between.
Yes. Yeah.
So that you can say, well, this is what you need to make sure that you are staying at those standards.
Yes.
So.
Right. Well, hopefully that anybody who does listen to this will have got some value from it. Hopefully you've got some value from the goodness knows how many pounds you've invested in our training program.
Yeah. Every penny has been worth it, Kevin.
Oh, right. So that's on record as well.
Well, my final word of advice to anybody who's training is don't give up, and don't be hard on yourself if you do fail two times like me, because you just turn that around into a learning opportunity and pick yourself up and know what you got to do and push yourself.
I think the important thing is that you do learn from it, which you clearly did, and you put it into practice properly on Monday.
So thanks, Kevin. You've pushed me to, you know, we're determined.
I'm glad you didn't finish the sentence "you've been," because there are plenty of people out there who would finish that sentence for you. that's not what some people would say. Yeah, keep going. There are alternatives that I know some people would suggest. Anyway, let's finish on that note. And thanks ever so much for your time. And I'll let you get back to your jacket potatoes. Well, Carrie just disappeared at the end there, mainly because when I finished this, the recording platform said that everything was 100% uploaded, but actually only 99% of hers was, so that's why she seems to have disappeared. Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed listening to that, especially those of you who either have standards checks, or particularly those who've got part threes coming up, and also if you've managed, sadly, to be unsuccessful in one. Hopefully some of the things that Carrie has mentioned there will be helpful to you and give you the inspiration to carry on and do the same as her. And if you have enjoyed listening to this, it would be very good and great. I'll be grateful for you if you just add a like to the Excel podcast site. And thanks for listening, and catch you next time.